And a very good morning to you. My name is Nick Moose-Batson, and I'm the Commander-in-Chief at tiptv.co.uk. The date, Tuesday the 8th of December. We're here 10 a.m. every day covering markets and sport. Live from the heart of London, St Paul's. Purpose, make you money through thought-provoking ideas. Strong conviction tips for short-term trading. As we always say, do not gamble with more than you can afford to lose. Today's guest list in no particular order: Zach Mayer, Alan Green, David Buick, Connor Campbell, Cobus Paulson, Malcolm Graham Wood, Jay Cheatham, Richard Hunter, Simon Wassenberg, Wilson Lung, Stephen O'Hara, Paul Vonk, Patrick Cheatham, and Mark the Couch Winstanley. Lots of CEO interviews today. Let's kick off. Alan Green, CEO for Brand Communications. Morning to you, Alan.
Morning, Nick, and a very happy birthday for yesterday.
Thank you. Mr. Zach Mead, technical analyst for Zach's Trader Cafe.
Many happy returns. You don't look it.
Yeah.
No.
I feel a tad old this morning, but that's another story.
Don't look at the 40.
Right, give me a thought of the day, chaps.
Just the commodities meltdown. Where is it going? How bad is it going to get? Also just very unseasonable. For this to be happening, especially with the oil going down. Normally oil goes up towards the sort of the winter months, but this is just all over the place, and it's threatening the Santa rally, I think.
Well, yeah, I noted that Clem Chambers mentioned the central bank supported rally yesterday, so looking for a central clause rally. But I agree with Zach, the commodity meltdown is pretty serious, and of course there's such major constituents in the FTSE 100. I think it could actually put the brakes on, so we may not have one after all.
Right. Okay, well, let's go through a whole host of slides to get us going. First one, the Tip TV Finance app is now available. Get the latest tips first download from the App Store. That's Tip TV in the 21st century. Let's move on to the brokers. A few words on these, please. Chats, Morrisons, Booker Group and Rolls-Royce. Morrisons out of the FTSE, 12-year low share price, a key chart point. Is there any glimmer of hope?
Aldi and Lidl now have 10% market share. It's just one-way traffic, isn't it, really? And really the same for Tesco as well. I mean, I was a big fan of Tesco, but drastic Dave Lewis is having problems there, and Morrison's, I think, have even bigger problems.
Right. And Booker, basically one of the discount firms, overweight. I always like to see an overweight Zach. That shows conviction to me.
Well, conviction, but I suppose at some point the deflationary malaise affecting the high street players is going to affect these people too. I mean, I don't think they can be immune to that.
Well, Booker's are more in line probably with Aldi and Lidl, so they're probably less exposed to that than the major supermarkets. But yeah.
Okay, and finally, Rolls Royce, Bernstein, and underperform. What is it? 5 profit warnings. Or a world class name. Extraordinary.
Yeah. Looking at Rolls Royce at £5.19, thinking, shall I buy? And the damn thing shot up to £6. But at this level, it's still good value. Obviously, the increase in defence spending marked up. It's had a really good recovery from its lows, so probably gone as far as it can do.
Okay, well, let's have a quick look at the charts as of the close last night. Morrison's, again, just
awful.
Charting
just
parlance.
Awful. Yes, I mean, you've got the last island top there, and just, you know, there's no real...
there's no case of being long that, technically.
No, I mean, it's spent sort of 6 months trying to stop out all the shorts. It's not then likely to go up again that chart.
And we've got the January trading statements coming up too.
Let's move on to Booker. The next slide. Okay, that looks a better looking chart to me.
It's much better because you've got the gap to the up, in fact, two gaps to the upside, both unfilled, and you've got the shares holding near the resistance as well. So, I mean, I may have been querying the fundamentals, but the charting situation looks absolutely fantastic.
Okay, and finally, Rolls-Royce. Gaps here, there, and everywhere.
Gaps here and there and everywhere. The problem is that the bottom of that old support is still coming in, but it has kind of reached the old support. So at the moment, looking rather weak, but you would presume it'd fill the gap towards 650 or 650, even if it goes back down after that.
Okay, let's move swiftly on to Centrica. A few words, Alan, please.
Well, Centrica have a trading update on Thursday, and of course we've got this exceptionally warm winter at the moment. They acquired a cloud-based energy business in the US recently, but it's been downhill all the way for Centrica. Shares opened lower this morning ahead of the statement. So unless there's a drastic turnaround in winter and we get a freeze and the increase in energy use goes up, it's going to carry on down.
Okay. And...
well,
Hornby trains.
Yeah, Hornby updated on trading this morning, and somebody said that on our website today, that's the Brand UK website, that they looked as though they were more in need of a repair yard than a platform. But
right.
Clearly, with their chart looking something like one of their train sets, we've got the convergence of the 50-day and the 200-day there. The trading statement does promise a recovery for next year, so whether it can build on this level, of course, remains to be seen, but it's certainly at a pivotal point right now.
Understood. Let's go to Omkar Godbole from FX Street. His thought today: weak Chinese imports trigger risk off. Exports dropped 6.8%, imports fell just over 8%. Weak exports is not surprising. Falling imports is more a serious issue due to weakness in the Chinese consumption. Global economy to continue facing aggregate demand deficiency. Interest rates stay close to zero so long as Chinese consumption remains weak. This increases odds of less than 25 basis points Fed lift off. Let's go on to open positions. Extraordinary that so many people are taking such bullish stances on commodities.
Yeah, just going for the longs on gold and silver. I mean, you really don't think one wouldn't think there was a hurry.
To try and
find the lows there. I mean, you'd rather miss the first 10% of any rally rather than get in now. But who knows? The crowd may be right.
That could have been a snapshot in time, of course. You know, maybe just at the moment the snapshot was taken, there was a big jump into gold. But, of course, they may have jumped out again.
There's been a bit of a bounce from 10.50, 10.60. But still, it's just that the atmosphere and ahead of the Fed as well.
Yep.
You'd want to see what they do. If they don't raise rates, then actually gold and silver would look like a decent play. But at the moment, it's too much of a punt.
I think it's money on them raising weights, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to Mike Ingram, market strategist for BGC. His thoughts today: overnight Asia retreats as poor China data impacts sentiment. Renminbi at weakest level versus US dollar in over 4 years on persistent FX outflows. Japan avoids technical recession in Q3, but business investment remains weak. Commodity price decline continues. Anglo-American scraps dividend, reduces capex and increases asset sales to conserve cash. Doesn't get any worse than that, does it?
It doesn't, no.
I mean, take chairs on the Titanic on that one, I would say.
Indeed. I mean, even Billiton's not immune, is it? I mean, Billiton was looking great value, but of course it's got the disaster in Brazil to contend with. But even that stalwart of the mining sector could come under threat.
Let's have a look at Nicole Elliott from the Investors Chronicle. Heavily weighted to both energy and precious metals, both Bloomberg's Commodity Index and the older Commodity Research Bureau's Index of Basic Materials and Foods are down at the sort of levels not seen this century, trading approximately 22% below 2009's lows and 65% below 2008's record high. Its impact is being felt by producers all over the world.
Yeah, but on that basis, they can't raise rates, because if this is a rate rising cycle, I mean, this is going to be an absolute car crash. So that's an element for not doing anything later this month.
I think probably a rate rise is factored in, though. I think.
Well, that's factoring in this, because I don't think that the markets can take any more of that.
No,
the economies can't take any more of that either.
No, they can't. They can't.
Okay, let's go on to what's trending. Bank of England, Carney. EU countries should match each other's property bubble curbs, from Mr. Carney.
What curbs has he got?
He's got a massive.
He's got the buy to let
in terms of additional.
But they've got no curbs here. They're just trying to say, well, I suppose on the.
Just trying to keep a lid on the London property market, really, aren't they?
Well, yes. But I don't think that other people are necessarily need to copy Mr. Carney's homework.
China saw record capital outflows in November. Oil, iron ore. Oil heading near for 7-year lows. Iron ore below $39. Painful period for iron ore producers. Through the 18-month bear market, wowee. Let's go on to a couple of top tweets. Mr. Buick, oil fell last night to a 7-year low. 7-year low on the oil. And finally, China imports and exports growth. China trade numbers remain sluggish in November, imports and exports contracting. Right, there are all the slides done for the morning wrap. Final thoughts.
It just doesn't look. I think, you know, the central banks are going to be. Well, the Fed is definitely boxed into a corner here. It can't have another leg up for the dollar. I mean, if the dollar is not factoring in the rate rise and there's another leg higher, it will be carnage next year on many markets and for many economies.
Yes.
Thank you for that, chaps.